Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, Ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
He was told, go your way. The words are sealed till the time of the end. Listen to this. He says, go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and shall stand in your lot at the end of days. So he's got a lot and we've got a lot. And that's where we see Peter locking in. He says, listen, they inquired, but they were told they're not talking for themselves, but for somebody else's lot. You and I get the Isaiah 53 passage. Who hath believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was taken from judgment and justice. He was led as a sheep before his shearers has come, and he was to be slaughtered. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace. All of these things were, they're reading this, they're speaking this, they're writing this, but they don't know how this can be. Because he's going to be praised by kings at the end of that chapter. How can that be? He was just crucified, which was, by the way, something they didn't do in the time of it writing. The Romans came up with that kind of murder, which was an awful way of execution. What I'm trying to show you is what they saw was they were on a mountaintop. And they were looking down through time, and God says, see that, write about that. And they're writing about this cross and this terrible, bloody, awful thing. Face wound, marred more than any man's, Isaiah 52 says. But then as they saw also glory, crown. They saw a king coming. And what there was is there were mountain peaks. And there were mountains. It looked like a linear, but it wasn't linear. It was all in one picture for them. And they were seeing mountain peak. And they said, how can this be? The sufferings and the glory. What? Never mind. Never mind, Isaiah. Never mind, Daniel. These are sealed up because when these people, you and me, get here, we're going to need this information. Why? Because we're going to come in face to face with evil on steroids. Everything that happened in chapter 11 of Daniel is nothing compared to what you and I are looking at coming this way. Fortunately, we're going to be raptured out of here when it gets really, really bad because we're not appointed under wrath. And, you know, he says to the Philadelphian church, he says, I'll keep you from that tribulation that will come on all the world. And so we see no church mentioned in the tribulation. But when it really starts getting there, we're going to see the birth pangs. The Bible says you're not in the dark that day should overtake you. So basically what I'm trying to show you is it might get pretty dicey before it gets really bad. And when it gets really bad, the Bible says it's going to be so bad that it's never been this bad before, ever on the face of the earth. You and I are living with all of these birth pangs. We're seeing them everywhere. And we need to recognize what God wants to do is he wants us to take hold of our position here. We'll get our feet, you know, set. You know, if somebody's, if you're getting ready to go, you know, say hike and the ball is snapped and you're going, somebody coming at you, you're leaning in for the hit, right? You need to be leaning in for the hit. Set yourself. And so they were told that it was not for them, but for those that would be after them, that should come after you, they were told. Verse 11 says they were searching out all of these things about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. And they were told that these things that they were looking at had to do with what? Had to do with grace. Look what it says, verse 10. The salvation which the prophets have inquired, searching and diligently prophesied, the grace that should be brought into you. What grace? How did grace meet in there? I just told you about the sufferings of Christ, glories of Christ. What's that got to do with grace? Grace is the issue. We're talking about God's manifold grace. He gave you grace in salvation, and he gave you grace to live out your salvation. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, knowing this, that it is God that works in you. When you get into the hot spot, God shows up. Paul says, one desire I have is that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. What was the key word there? That I may know him personally, right up close. How do you get that? Suffering. Conformity to his death. He says that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. You know, when they were in that prison and the doors broke open after they'd been beaten in Philippi, God was giving them a blessing of being able to even sing. Who's singing after their backs are bloody? They've been thrown in disrepute into a jail cell. He says, all of this stuff is grace. He says, that's what they want to know. What's this grace? How can this grace be? What are these people getting there? What are they getting? Well, what they're getting is they're getting grace. And it's a manifold grace, and he's hoping it's going to be multiplied. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, unto whom it was revealed, not to themselves, but unto us did they minister the things that are now reported unto you. What am I doing today? I'm reporting unto you that you have grace. You didn't just get grace, and you're not just saved by grace. You have grace. The Bible actually says in other places, it says, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, he talks about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. How do you grow in grace? Well, you just keep kind of walking for God, and you keep looking to God, and eventually you'll get in a tight spot, and you'll find God's grace showing up. Maybe you found it in your day-to-day already. Sometimes you're still going along, and you've had a couple of days where you were just in a mess, and suddenly, it's always been there. It's always been there. A little bit further back, but you'll hear that song just bouncing around in the back of your mind. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. You're like, wait a minute, I'm not feeling right. You feel like almost embarrassed that it's in there. But it's in there because God's in there. And the Spirit wants you to sing. He wants you to sing. Be filled with the Spirit singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You have control over that. Find that song. He says, it was revealed unto them that they ministered unto us the things that are reported now by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. It's not a one-sided thing, you know. Preachers can get a little bit discouraged. Oh, man, I preach my heart out. I don't know. Can't go there, you know. You get a little older, you're like, no, God's got the ball. He's going to run it right into the heart where it needs to be. He can do that. That's what's amazing about the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you hear the Thessalonians being bragged on by Paul, he only had 3 weeks with them. He said, you received the word with the power of the Spirit. It's almost like God put on display when he preached about the cross. They could get tears in their eyes kind of thing. It was that kind of visceral reality to their hearts. And it has been that way throughout the church age until of late. We are told the stories of the great awakenings, the real great awakenings, not what they're talking about today, where people are awakening to, you know, evil in government. That's not an awakening in a true sense. The great awakening was when people would hear the words just read. Jonathan Edwards got that Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God sermon. He didn't preach that. He read that from place to place. And people would grasp on the pillars of the buildings they were in and weep, crying out for fear of themselves falling into hell. Their sensitivities, their scruples, their consciences, they were all very tender. Now, we're in a day now that's a little bit more precarious than that. The Bible says it was preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You may recall with me in chapter 12 as well that things were getting so good in the storyline that the angels said, sir, excuse me, when's this going to happen? It was one of the angels asking Jesus. And it was really, really neat to see that even the angels desire to look into these things. I tell you, man, we're living on some pretty awesome ground right now. We're seeing things that angels desire to know about. We're seeing things right now all around us that you could not quantify before our generation. The Bible says that these things the angels even desire to look into. Verse 13, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace, there it is, for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, are we talking eschatology or are we talking in the day to day? Well, the word gird up is not an admonition, but an expectation. The word is in literally the aorist middle participle. It says having gird up. It's already done. When you got saved, you didn't need to be awakened anymore. You know now. We've been trying to help people wake up forever. I've been walking with the Lord over 40 years, okay? And I'm like, okay, I got this. And I've been trying to reach around this guy and get under that person and try to help this person to see Jesus, right? That's us. Now people are trying to do that all across the board. Some people don't see some things. Some people see some things politically or whatever. And they're not seeing Jesus in the midst of it. So we maybe use that as a springboard to get them to Jesus. You know, the Bible said there's going to be one world government. You know, the Bible says there's going to be one world currency. We know the Bible said that there's going to be pharmaceuticals going to be deceiving the whole world. And we can use that. We say, but Jesus. Okay, but it's always about Jesus. It's always trying to get them to Jesus. He says, you've already done it. When you got saved back there, fellas, when you were in your house and you had the warm fire and you had the nice home and the garden out back and the beasts in the field and they were your own,
He says, you've already girded up your loins of your mind when you trusted Jesus. Don't forget that. He says, wherefore? And I'll give you a couple of translations that put it in that perspective. Young's literal puts it this way. Wherefore, having girded up the loins of your mind. You already know about the glories of Christ and the sufferings of Christ. You know about that. Prophets didn't know that. Angels didn't understand it. You know it. You say, yeah, I'm familiar with that. And that's probably true for many of Christendom's members out there. They are familiar with it, but do they know it? Okay. Because if you've ever heard that song, were you there when they crucified my Lord? You know what that song's all about? That song is saying, were you on that cross with him? Were you there when he laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he raised up from the dead? That whole song is a question to the people that it's being sung to ask themselves, was I in him? Was I on that cross? Did he die for you? He bore our sins in his body on the cross. In fact, in Corinthians, it talks about the fact that if you're not walking with the Lord, many times the cross is bearing you. But if you're walking for the Lord, you're bearing the cross because you're identifying with the fact that you were in him. And in Ephesians, it's over and over again said, in whom? In him, in him, in him. Because we're in him and we were in him. And when we get baptized, we're saying, I believe he died for me. It was as if I was in him. And when I was buried, it was as if I was in him. And when he rose from the dead, it was as if I was in him. The baptism is an identification. Another translation says, therefore, with minds that are alert, they've taken the whole thing and kind of twisted it. But the idea, it's already happened. You already have alert minds because you already know the ABCs. But what's interesting is that we may know it, but we don't know it because it says, wherefore, having girded up the loins of your mind, because he's talking to believing people, he says, be sober. Now, oftentimes the word is sophroneteo, which means to be of a saving mind, trying to help people. That sober-mindedness is sometimes what's indicated. But here it's not. It's talking about don't be drunk. Don't be intoxicated. You don't have time for that. There's going to be a time when everlasting joy is going to be on your brow. He's asking these people to step up and become holy. Look what he says. He says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace, there it is again, grace, this is our passage, God's manifold grace, hope to the end, for the grace, listen to this, that is to be brought to you. You've been scattered and you've been put out there so that others can see the illumination of Jesus on your face. That day it was Jews and everybody else. So when he tipped over the apple cart through the persecutions and they all were scattered everywhere. The Bible says in Acts that they were scattered everywhere preaching the gospel. That was new. Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles as Peter is the apostle to the Jewish people. So what he's saying is hope to the end, hope with all that in you is for this grace. Be looking for it. Is God doing something in our world? Can we agree? God's doing stuff, right? This is not business as usual. It is not. And that means that we need to be hoping to the end, hoping with all that in us is. And again, I can give you another translation the way they put it. It says, set your hope on the grace of God. In other words, you may be struggling at the moment, but just keep looking for the next step because God's there. God's there. Isn't that beautiful? Telling you what, God has got this thing from front to back to side, up above, you know, breadth, width, height, depth, all that. He's got it all. He's got you surrounded. And you are his conduit. And he wants to use you. Another translation says, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you. Hope perfectly, another one says, this is Young's literal, hope perfectly upon the grace. See, what we're supposed to do is we become anticipators.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.